I did spin this morning, right? So it's spin class. I'm from Wellington, Glen Owen, 56 years old, married, three children, live rurally out of Wellington, 18 kilometres from Parliament. Takes me 45 minutes by bike to get to work. I did spin class. My son's an instructor in the gym this morning. My legs are killing me, man. And then I sat on the runway while they changed the tyre on a plane. Have you ever had a tyre changed on a plane? Mental. So late getting up here today. That's a little bit of a, you know, icebreaker, informal piece. It's rock and roll. So I'm Glen Owen from HP Networking. If any of you didn't know, HP has been doing networking for 32, 34, 35, 36 years. It's number two from a market share point of view, and we've got massive research and development that actually underpins all of our portfolio, 320,000 employees, yellow pages of IT, da-da-da-da. So we have a bunch of technology, a bunch of developments, a bunch of innovation that we bring to market. Right? I've been around in the networking game since 1985, that is. And there's been quite a few changes. A couple of other people in the room have also been around for the same period because they're the same generations as myself. The thing we're talking about here, SDN, software-defined networking, is the biggest thing, unquestionably, the biggest thing I have seen in this, right? We had the internet, we had TCP, we had Ethernet and all those things that came out. This is the biggest thing since Ethernet. Significantly changes the way we view networking and what we think of as networking. Right? So what I want to do is stand up here. I've got a whole bunch of wasted life and then a few collective moments which actually are reasonably decent from a wisdom point of view and an experience point of view. And I'd like to impart a few of those. If I can get sort of like a school thing, you know, the teachers you had at school, if we can get across a couple of significant gems, or just a couple of gems, to just a few of you in the room, and a glimmer of light goes on, that would be mission accomplished. Right? So we've been doing the SDN thing, myself and a few of the guys from HPN in New Zealand, for probably 3 years in a particular slant around New Zealand, and every time you do it, one or two in 50 people, one or two people get a glimmer of light, and the rest of them sort of it doesn't necessarily make sense. You've got to hear it three or four times, and you have to think differently about it. So anyhow, let me rock and roll. What I'd like to do in the next 45 minutes, and if it takes more than 45 minutes, you are definitely going to be asleep listening to me. Right? So 45 minutes, I want to convince you, you need to know that SDN, software-defined networking, whether you're thinking of a data center or cloud, or you're thinking of campus or branch, is available today. It is in production within customers, and it's a thing that's out there. It's not coming in 5 years' time. Yes, it's in the early adopter space. Yes, there are only X number of deployments. Yes, there's some stuff that has to be done. There's work in progress. However, it is real. It's done. It's inevitable. No question, you can go back, and there was a joke about another networking vendor earlier on. You can go back 15, 18 months and people were saying, nah, it's never going to happen, it's all a fad, we've seen this before, da-da. Over. It's done. All the analysts, all the industry, SDN is the next architecture for networking. There's a whole lot of fundamental reasons that it has to happen, right? Operational benefits are pretty much obvious because of the architecture. Commercial constructs. So for those of you that are doing services or are customers out there, the way you currently purchase networking completely changes with software-defined networking. Now you purchase it in a complete, or can purchase it, or can deliver it, or provision it in a completely different way, completely different commercial proposition, which is pretty interesting to a whole bunch of people. It's more than just, quote, unquote, a solution for a data center. Obviously, this is a Microsoft conference, and Microsoft are a software, or predominantly a software house, and they have a specific view on it, as do a lot of other software companies, and it's very data center centric. However, software-defined networking and what it is and where it came from is more than just data center, and I particularly want to get that across, that extension bit about more than data center. supposedly, we're meant to be IT professionals. Sometimes I'm not that professional. If you come around a bar in Wellington, you'll see I'm not that professional sometimes. We're meant to be IT professionals. We have to think differently. We have to think not BAU. We should be stretching our intellect, stretching our inquiring minds about what does this really mean? You know, why do I just do BAU? Why do I just accept the way it's been? Why don't I embrace networking, embrace software-defined networking? What would it mean if I did things differently? If I thought about innovation as opposed to, I need more bandwidth, or I'll buy this other thing over here. Why don't I use the networking as a resource instead of as a fixed asset? It's more than just static planning. That becomes obvious. And by the way, we have way too much to say. As I said, we've been doing this for a few years around the OpenFlow software-defined networking thing. We have, collectively, there's Rick Bracewell at the front here who's way techie about bits and bytes stuff. We have a lot of knowledge. We've done a lot of work with customers. We understand and can impart a lot of that knowledge on. We've got too much to say. But it's definitely, if you're really interested, and there's some stuff at the end, if you want to follow up, if you want to see any of this stuff working in labs, play with it, do the control of things, see what it really means, what the apps are, just give us a tinkle, and the details come up at the end. So because I like to talk too much and I need an agenda to keep on track, got an agenda, we'll do a historical context. And this is an impossible task. Though probably all of you have to present, right, at some stage in your lives. It's a lose-lose situation. I either present too high and it's not good for the techie guys because I didn't get any real value out of it, or you're too low and there's too many acronyms and technical about it. So we're going to go through this. There'll be a historical context to put it in scope of where it came from, why it's here, what it is, right? Definitions, because there's always people in the audience who haven't seen it before, right? Our vision for it, because we have a particular view, and we've been doing it for a long time, so we'll impart that vision, which is an industry thing. Use cases, so the stuff that's out there, and a quick summary, which is a wrap-up stuff out of me. Historical context. For those of you that saw the movie, it was a cool line. If there's any Mr. Andersons or Mrs. Andersons, sorry about the line, it's not really a death, but that it is inevitable. It's on the tracks, it's coming down here, it will arrive. Putting your head in the sand, denying that software-defined networking is a reality is stupid, because it's not happening, it's there. And it's not necessarily a sound death, but it's got to come. The reasons for that, one, all the legacy networks we've been building are way too complex. If you ever... I'm a networking guy. When we drop into, and for those that don't know it, HP also do like PCs and servers and printers and stuff like that, crap like that. So when those guys come and talk to us, they're just blown away. We talk acronyms for Africa, and networking is really complicated. And you start getting into BGP and OSPF and bits and pieces, MPLS and that, people freak out. It's way too complicated. You try and make it complicated in today's mobile, highly flexible, adaptive world, doesn't work, right? It's not aligned to the business apps. Right? So we build a network. There it is. There's your network. Life's all good. And then you move everything around it. Mobility, users change. They move around the place. We've got wireless going on for Africa. All your apps change. But you've got a static network. She's a problem. And the real one is this. If you're doing cloud, if you thought that Azure was a real thing, or you thought that whatever the other cloud solutions are real things, then they're doing SDN. The way they deliver that isn't through a static network, it's through software-defined networking. Right? They either view it as, you know, incorporating what we call the underlay and the overlay, or it's purely overlaid. But effectively, if you don't have SDN, you cannot have cloud. Does that make sense? Better make sense. You're in the front row. I get to ask you questions in the front row. So when I was a young fella, 20 years ago, or a medium-aged fella 20 years ago, we built record networks, and they sort of looked like this, right? We had a whole bunch of boxes, be they firewalls, switches, routers, don't care, stuck around there, got some planes, and we built a static network, and we said, wow, what we want to do, let me just go back. There should be a thing under here. Looking for this down here. So we looked for this management thing, and we spent millions and millions of dollars trying to build end-to-end management so we could see end-user experience. The good news for us is that today we build networks exactly the same, all right? But in that 20 years, everything has changed. 20 years, 1994, for those of you that can't do the maths thing, right? So Everything has changed since 1994, but our networks, the fundamental way we build them, as static devices interconnected with OSPF or whatever, or BGP or whatever it happens to be, inflexible. It doesn't work. Everything around it's changed. What this has led to is, if this is the continuum of how we as IT professionals, as IT professional departments or IT departments is meant to be, is it's linked to a situation where you go to a network, it's pretty chaotic. Right? And this, by the way, is not just New Zealand. This is a global thing, right? When you go to the networks, because it's so complicated, it's so static, and it's all cobbled together with band-aids lots of times, right? We're in the chaos. We're meant to be moved up here to the service level, the value, you know, the proactive side of life. That's where they want the IT company to be. All right? We haven't got that with the networks we've built. The other thing that's going on is the way we've built networks is pretty much like this. It's a fixed asset. We build it, you know, and you throw some applications on it and it consumes bandwidth, and then, oops, now we have to upgrade the pipes. They've got to get bigger. Or we need to make the load balances bigger because we've run out of capacity. So we do a step change. We have this sunk investment and the applications move. Right? It doesn't work because we're shifting the application usage, the usage up and down, and we need something that tracks it. What SDN does for us is it allows us to align our network resource and our capacity with the application and the user demand. So all of a sudden, we've got a network resource that's tracking our needs as a business or our customers' needs as a business. Right? Now, this is the idea of being able to commercialize it differently. If we can provision or orchestrate the network in a way that it tracks like this, then effectively our commercial model is different. We don't have those step changes in the same manner. So the reasons we have to have it. So, cool. What is SDN? Traditional device. Doesn't matter what it is from a networking point of view, it has three control planes in it. It's got a management plane that you talk to the device through. CLIs or SSH or whatever. It's got a control plane where you run the protocols, spanning tree, OSPF, all the other bits and pieces you want to have in there. And it's got a data plane which takes packets in and packets out. And then we take all those devices, independent control planes, and we put them together with OSPF and things across the links. So a traditional network looks sort of like this. You've got the internet, you've got all your devices sitting on the side, and you've got your appliances in there. And every device, basically, we have a forwarding plane and we have a control plane. Right? Very difficult to manage, independent, quite complicated. What happened out of Stanford's with Kasara McEwen and all the other guys, and HP Labs, by the way, is they went out and they said, this isn't working for us. Right? It's getting too complicated. We've got this cloud thing and the big data thing and sensors and all this network-connected elements, either compute elements or non-compute elements, but they're all of a sudden the network is the computer scenario. Right? We need to do it differently. So what we're going to do is we're going to define this thing called software-defined networking, and that will mean we're going to abstract the forwarding plane from the control plane. Take them apart. So now we leave the forwarding plane. It's our network as it was. By the way, this is not... We always get these things. There's a whole bunch of, over the three or whatever years we've been doing it, there's a whole bunch of standard questions. Oh, so that's the switches look like this. This is not switches only. This is switches. This is routers. This is firewalls. This is networking services and forwarding devices, right? So it applies to wireless and to routing exactly the same way as it applies to switching. It's not just switching, not just data center. Got a network like this. So what SDN is about is exactly that. Let's leave the forwarding plane in the devices. It makes them specific, theoretically makes them more cost-effective to produce and everything. There's just one job to do. And we'll put the control plane, or the high levels of the control plane, back into a controller. So now we have that OSPF model, or the route information, living in one central point. So we have visibility out of that controller of all the network. For those of you that think, well, that sounds a bit radical, you know, why would you change a switch or other bits and pieces like that? This is exactly what we did with servers. So if you go back to the old days, we used to do, guys like Wang and Compaq and whatever, they did this. They had proprietary hardware, proprietary OS, and proprietary applications that sat on top of it, a vertically integrated stack. Then we came out with, you know, hypervisors and all the other bits and pieces, and we virtualized or abstracted the hardware and everything apart and the OS apart, all right? And we got innovation and applications could be ported across. So we expanded IT and we added value to IT. That's exactly what this is in the networking world. So effectively, switches, routers, APs and things down here, abstracted hardware, have an open API to decouple the control plane, keep that in a controller or a software stack in the middle, and then we have applications that sit on top of it. And people can develop those applications to sit on anyone's hardware through open APIs. By the way, anyone can ask questions. Brendan, if you've got questions you want to ask, you ask questions anytime. So this is the architecture as it sits. Data plane down the bottom, whole bunch of devices sitting out there, switches, routers, APs and things. Open APIs back to a controller, multiple controllers, domain-based controllers. You could, you know, one of the things that comes out is, so is this a single controller, a single bit of software sitting around there? It could live in the enterprise and just look after one campus. It could live in the service provider and just look after the WAN. It could live in the data center and just look after the data center. So your domain-based controllers as a sphere. And then, again, programmable open APIs that talk up to a whole bunch of applications, including cloud orchestration. As I said before, this gets a little bit confused sometimes around what is SDN. So that's the Open Network Foundation standard of SDN, where it came from, out of Stanford's, right? What's happened with the cloud side is people went out and said, well, from a data center perspective, you know, maybe we can just do this all in software. So we call this the overlay, or the industry calls this the overlay SDN, the overlay network. The physical hardware we call the underlay network, overlay, underlay, right? So what they did is they said, well, we need to have, you know, exactly the same stuff as we do in the physical network. Pooled automated resource, multi-tenant isolation bits and pieces, expand the data center, reduce operational complexity, same stuff that Microsoft wanted to do. What they did is they went and said, got an underlay network of a whole bunch of switches living in the data center. What we'll do is we'll, in the hypervisor, run up the VMs and then basically tunnel these to one another. So we'll tunnel all the VMs to one another, and that effectively will allow us to virtualize in an overlay all the networking, and we can move stuff around as we want. So this achieves all I want to in the data center or the cloud, right, without having to go down and touch any of the underlay network. The issue with that is it has no awareness of the underlay network. So it has no awareness of switches or convergence or any of the network pieces, underlay, all right, that's going on. So if you run out of bandwidth, the tunnels are not aware that you've run out of bandwidth. They don't have any telemetry going between them to tell you what's going on. And if you wanted to extend those services from the data center out to an end user, then you would have to virtualize and it wouldn't understand anything about the WAN. So the way that we've approached this, and the industry is sort of approaching it, is we'll have northbound APIs, or open APIs again, that will allow us to federate or exchange those policies between the overlay network, the virtual network that's happening within the cloud or within your data center, happening with, you know, 2012 R2 or something, and you're setting up your nice little SDN environment. We'll federate across it, and we'll have awareness that will populate down to the physical. So we'll just pass policies as peer-to-peer, as a collaborative type of environment, open. It's deathly silent. Cool. Our vision. So first of all, the thing that we have here, and I like to get this across, is there's a hell of a lot of devices going out there. It's actually, I was talking to the taxi driver coming up here. Back when myself and a couple of other people in the audience started in the IT game, there was hardly any technology. You know, we were unique, weird little geeky people, nerdy people on the side that did stuff that got off on silicon and photonics and things, right? Which nowadays, it's not quite the same. Now it's massive and everything is IT-based and whatever else. The numbers of devices that they're talking are staggering. The 8.7 comes out of the networking company, and that's for 2012, right? They reckon there's about 17 billion devices by 2020, right? 17 billion devices and something like 7.5 billion people, or some stupid number. And if you go to the sensor world, it's colossal. Now, every one of these things is connected to the network. Right? So Bob Metcalf, for those that don't know, is one of the guys that invented Ethernet, right? And he had that thing of network is directly, the value of the network is directly proportional to the number of devices connected to it, which sort of makes sense. Right? And what we do, though, particularly as I go around New Zealand, is we do not invest in the network. We do not invest in networking people. We do not invest in the skill set or the management tools in the networking people. And we've got to get that right. We've got to change some stuff in there. The whole stuff that goes on here is basically you need to do the network big time. You've got to orchestrate it. It's going to grow bigger than the data centers are going to grow. So we've approached it, HP have approached it pretty much in the manner that most of the mature vendors in the market are approaching it. We need to be open. We need an ecosystem. Trying to proprietize it, it's a lovely thing from a margin point of view. You know, it's fantastic. You know, we'd like to be a monopoly. Everyone would like to be a monopoly. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for human beings. Human beings will fight against a monopoly. So we're going down, we're saying we're doing an open ecosystem. So what we've done for SDN is we've done a developer's kit and a whole bunch of support programs that says, if you want to do some SDN stuff, you can go and get the developer's kit out of us. You can get all the support you want out of it. We'll have a vehicle for getting it to market with you, and you can build your SDN applications and become part of that ecosystem. And it's not appropriate to throw up brand names, but we've got a lot of networking vendors that are part of that ecosystem and other IT companies. The other thing we've done, which comes out this month, is we've done an app store. So one of the things when you look at this around the SDN environment, you've got a centralized controller that's got applications sitting on top of it. How are you procuring the applications? The historic way that we procured networking services or networking applications is you came across to the monopolistic vendor, and you paid them some money, and you FTP'd down, or you bought a license, so other stuff happened. That's not the way you consume software in today's industry world. It's all based on the, you know, the iPhone, iPad-y thing, where you go to iTunes and download your software. So we've got an app store, goes live, so there's a demo, a beta version of it already out and running, that has a whole lot of applications sitting on it that you can actually, these developers can publish the publish via, consume via. Within that, at an infrastructure level, we're shipping and selling, and have been selling for a number of years, switches, routers, and access points that support the open APIs above. So you can buy today a switch, router, whatever else, run it, and then run an open flow on it and allow it to talk to an SDN world. So these things have been shipping for a number of years. We have customers in New Zealand who have purchased them not to do the SDN world, but actually to implement today's network and then know they can do the SDN world or partition and do a hybrid model where it's part SDN and part traditional, right, because of optimization. The controller's been shipping for a while and the other bits have been on top of it. There are a lot of ports out there. From a vision point of view or a view point of view, what we see is federated campuses so the enterprise customers may want to control their own campus. The telco and service providers will want to control their environment. They will have their own domain. We need to exchange policies, federated policies between these, and federated policies to the data center. So we see domains in a end-to-end network and the exchange of policy-based network policies across those domains via SDN controllers. Above that, a whole bunch of I've got to figure out how to use this. A whole bunch of applications that sit on there and mining the data. So if we have a network with a northbound API that can be influenced or directed by identity or influenced and directed by business policy or security, how are you going to use it? So the question now isn't, you know, what is HP shipping in my router that can fill this hole? It's now, all right, how do I want my network assets to work for my business rules at the top? So all of the value in networking in this model shifts to the interpretation of all of the business applications and all of the other pieces of intelligence I have, and then using that to direct the network about what it does. Does that sort of make sense? No, good. I like that. Just as an idea of what we've done out here and what we've got going on. So from an app store point of view, What we've done is this is a view of the sort of stuff that's in the App Store at the moment that's coming out, and it's been expanded as we go through to September. I just want to run through, like maybe throw up some of the applications that we've done, and maybe that sinks into that bigger picture of how the application or the user's information influences the network. So one of the things that we did originally as a proof of concept to show the power of SDM with Microsoft was actually we developed a proof of concept around Link. That's now productionized. All right, so you can, we call it Optimizer as an application because marketing have got to do something for their money, right? So it's called Optimizer. And the reason they chose Link or a UCNC application is because you need, it's damn complicated. When you go look at what's going on with it, everyone agrees that trying to actually put in ACLs and QoS policies and edge switching to support a UCNC application applies a lot of configuration rules to the edge switches, applies a lot of configuration rules to the WAN and things underneath it, and it's a real-time protocol, so therefore it's very susceptible to anything that you get wrong. Right? So we built the application in conjunction with Microsoft, using Microsoft's SDN API, which is out in 2012 R2. Right? And it's considered to be great, and it got some rewards. So what this basically looks like as a build is we have devices at the edge. We have a whole bunch of infrastructure that sits in the network. Right? And on the top of that, we have a Link and an AD implementation, or a full Microsoft stack implementation at the top. Right? On the other side, we have our controller, so the SDN controller, right? SDN-capable network infrastructure, obviously, and we have an SDN application that we call Optimizer, right? UCNC Optimizer. And in that application is fundamentally a QoS engine, right? So it's a little application written that does as a QoS engine. And then what happens is whenever there's a link call between any two things, whether it's, you know, video or IM or anything else or a file exchange, the link server is an intermediary and knows what's going on. So it's in there and it looks at the security, it looks at the person's profile, are they allowed to do it, all the bits and pieces, and it passes between the link application and our application, an API, saying, hey, here's a whole lot of metrics. So here's the codecs I need. Here's the type of stuff, open API between the two things. Here's what I want the network to look like. All our application does is it takes that and translates that to OpenFlow policies. So prior to that request for a call, which might be an IM session, right, there was no policy on the edge switch, or just a default policy on the edge switch, will we say. Once that request for a video call comes up, we go, oh, that means you're using blah codecs, therefore we have to push out this sort of QoS policy. Oh, secure, you are allowed to have it or not securely. Maybe you're not allowed to video conference or talk to an external party that particular time of the day. So there's a bunch of security rules that are mined that enforce that influence that policy that's pushed out to the edge. So the point being here, if I have overlapping TCP/IP port numbers, it doesn't matter because it's only for the session. Right? So my configuration on the edge switches is real small. It's very easy. The chances of mucking it up are a lot less. I don't know if any of you had a look the other day, but you would have seen, or well, may have seen, that, what was the number? 11, so think of New Zealand, like 4.2 million people, right? 11.9 million people went offline for 15 hours internet-wise in the US because of a router config push-out that screwed up and rippled through, right? So because of all those individual devices that you push configs to, someone, human being, inadvertently, which we all do it, right, stuck in the wrong cut and paste, right, pushed it out to the network and took down 11.9 million people from a service provider. It's a fairly significant number of people that run their businesses now on that internet, broadband, cable network, right, that went offline. So one of the things with this is you can never stop a human being from destroying stuff. Well, you can try to, but chances are you're not going to. Right. But what you can do is you can orchestrate and via software apply policies that determine whether it's appropriate or not. So the idea is we need more and more network connectivity The idea of trying to do it the old way with human middleware doesn't work. We have to use the tools to help us get it right. And this is a decent way of showing it. Another thing that we released that came out in the App Store, and this isn't like revolutionary. Just trying to find the little point of them. It's not revolutionary, but what we have is, in HP, we had a whole bunch of security stuff that looks out at threats and bad sites and places that people probably shouldn't go because they're going to be infected with malware or whatever. And we have an idea of, out of Tipping Point, you know, which is a HP company, IPS, next-gen firewall company. Basically, they've got an idea of what those sites are bad, right? So we can mine this information, put it through a little application, and stick it into an SDN controller, SDN application, SDN controller. So now, what this does really elegantly, doesn't matter where your internet gateways are, doesn't matter how many access points you've got, or exit points you've got, is when someone tries to go to a bad site, we can go, oh, that's a bad site, stop them. This is a DNS thing, right? So they can still type in a TCP IP address and go to that site, still get there if they want to, but the inadvertent malware thing, right, we can block. So when we, where this came from, this came out of HBO. So HBO, Home Box Office, guys in the US, had a whole bunch of issues with malware. And it, like a large number of organizations, right? And it's not that people were being bad or anything, it was just a clicking on a link that got mailed to them and it did some stuff. So what they did is they said, this is really bad. They had some pre-sales guys from HP that were in there that understood about OpenFlow and SDN and bits and pieces. They went, hell, you know, we've got all the pieces that we need to actually help here, really simply, really elegantly, much better than trying to push around in the old model. Let's go and build it. So the guys knock it up in the garage and all of a sudden it becomes a product. So most of the applications that you see out of there are done exactly like that. I've got a user that has something, CERN deployed, load balancing around the place, a little bit of software that runs as a distributed load balancer around their particle accelerator, you know, the thing around Switzerland, whatever it is, 42 kilometers of hydro acceleration thing, the black hole. Another thing that's out of, this is just examples of stuff that sits on the, that we're shipping as a production product and it'll be available by, out of the web. This is the thing. So one of the things that HP did, we've got labs and they do photonics and they do radio and things like, bits and pieces like that. They had a little development, which we called Cupid internally. There's a slide and a second on it. And what that did is that basically did some location-based services out of pure mass, right? I'll explain in a second how it did it. Using SDN and then this wireless location-based service, we can now, with a decent amount of accuracy, within 2 meters on a single AP, right, we can locate a Wi-Fi device within 2 meters on a map, right, and then we can optimize the network to connect to that device to push content or things as we need using orchestration in the SDN layer. And Cupid, I'm just going to digress a little bit. It's not entirely SDN, but I think it's a real cool development from HP Labs' point of view. So what the Cupid thing was about, if you're sitting there in a Wi-Fi environment, the way you did location services historically was you triangulated. You had two or three APs around the place, and it looked at, you know, the relative signal strength on the various APs, and it said you're probably about in this particular location. And it needed, you know, two, three, the more the better from a location point of view. What the guys in labs, and this is like all of this big data thing, what, you know, it's all about maths at the end of the day, right? What the guys in the labs did is they went, well, actually, we can run an algorithm, just a little bit of software, that can determine the reflected waves versus the direct path, right? And we can tell by the phase shifts which ones are reflected and not. We can do that real time just with a bit of software so it's mapped and dynamically adjusted through all the time. The net result of that is with a single AP, rather than having two or three of them, they can get to within 2 meters, right, which is five times more accurate than triangulated APs. So no additional hardware, don't need the density of APs, get really, really accurate. Just with maths, just with computation in the maths. So you take that, I can get really accurate And this because at the end of the day, everyone goes, well, how's that going to make me some money, or how's that going to make the planet better, or save some people's lives, or whatever happens, but there's got to be an outcome from it, right? So what they did is they went and they said, well, the service providers, as in service providers, BT, Orange, those sort of people, right? Singtel, AT&T, jumped in and went, wow, that's really interesting, because if we can look inside buildings, you know, we have a GPS thing that does outdoors, if we can look inside buildings and we can track people that accurately and we can tell their demographics about who they are, blah, 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 and we can map them around the shop, all of a sudden we can push promotional stuff to them and make sure that we deliver the McDonald's vouchers to them before they get to the McDonald's door, because the other thing with this tracking is there's a human element in the mass that determines where you're walking and the pace, right? So it's just a mass engine, and they can actually tell that you're approaching McDonald's as opposed to the previous triangulation, which couldn't do the directional piece. Right, so we can make sure you get the McDonald's voucher before you get to McDonald's, not when you're almost at Burger King down the road. Right? So accuracy was everything. Service providers, very, very hot on it, because they got all the demographics about what we do in our life. Right? Just another simple little thing, DNS director. So all these applications come out of companies that are in the networking space, and their value is intellectual property, the software. They might currently, if you think of our people like Riverbed and F5, currently they're sort of locked to the hardware as well, the appliance. But in an SDN world, their value is software, and then we use the infrastructure underneath it to deliver the enforcement of that value. So it shifts the commercial model for them as well. So Blue Cat released a DNS redirector, which effectively uses the infrastructure that you've got around the switching to push stuff to a DNS control point. Guardicore did a honeypot arrangement. So looking at threats within the data center and then saying, oh, I don't like that. So what I'll do is I'll attract that. I can see that it's bad. So what I'll do is I'll steer it to a honeypot and then keep it active while I work out what the hell's going on and where is it coming from. Right, so really attractive to a whole bunch of people and a really simple implementation, because SDN enables them to configure the underlying network based on that intelligence. Simple. Radware do a DDoS one, so as do F5 out of us. And they're all pretty much so. Evolve is a one of the other things on this. Evolve one's damn interesting, actually. So the other thing on SDN in terms of the WAN side of life is that actually everything, because it's software-based, right, you've got hardware limitations about the specific device you've got out there, and you can only do what it can do. But because it's software-based, I can model it. So all of a sudden now, you know, the old days of simulators and predictive modeling of how your network's going to work when you roll this new application out, and it cost a gazillion dollars and you can never use it, right? And what you've got now is an SDN world, it is all software-based. So the simulators for it are really accurate, and you can do a whole bunch of like predictive stuff in it. They do some visualization things in that. Real status, visualize it. So in the same way, because you've got a central point for this control plane, I can get real time, not 5 minutes ago, not statistically over the last hour utilization, I can get now picture of end-to-end utilization or end-to-end performance on that particular flow. So one of the, and we sort of, over the years, we've sort of lost some of the specific points in detail, and we sort of just gloss over them. But one of the things with the SDM world is that controller that's sitting in the middle has a view of the entire network topology, all the flows that are going on now. So the way that I managed networks historically was I looked at that, I did some trending, I did some benchmarking, I pulled some information in there, I modeled it, and I said, oh, yep, 15 minutes, 5 minutes ago, my network looked like it was this sort of average utilization. The thing with The visualization and the management of SDN now is it's now. What is it like now, this instant for that particular application? And then, what do I want to do about it? Because a higher level can then change and respond to that now. It's sort of, as I said, like we sort of gloss over it because we've been talking about it for a long time, but it's really, really significant if you're old and you've been hanging around in networks for a long time. The funny things here is if you're not used to routers and switches and MPLS or whatever else and all the horrible stuff we do, you don't realize how chaotic and complicated the world we live in is, and then how significantly different the quantum leap this is to actually pull it into a single place with a single control plane in some way. Anyhow, sorry, I ramble on. See, those are the sort of things my kids say, don't do that. Whatever you do, don't get up and tell old man jokes or ramble on the way that you do. Okay, my point of view, New Zealand opportunity. And just to reiterate the fact that I'm old, right, I am sick to the teeth of us not doing it properly in New Zealand. And we get on a little, this is the drinking in the pub thing, by the way, where I'm not professional. We get on little soapboxes and get annoyed about, you know, grumpy old man syndrome, get annoyed about the fact that why aren't the lights coming on? Why aren't we doing this stuff differently? Why don't we act like professionals? Why don't we make New Zealand different? Why don't we make New Zealand different, right? Why don't we make ourselves improve? Anyhow, strategy, SDN, unanimous. It's acknowledged. If you don't have SDN, if you think, oh, well, I'm going to do it the way I was and in 5 years' time it'll be exactly the same, you're an idiot. There's no question, right? You obviously are not reading. You are not in touch with the press. I don't care who you are. If you're in the networking space and you haven't, you know, the lights haven't come on and you've seen this train coming down about SDN, then boy, you know, wow, you're in some funny network space because it's crap. It's mature. You know, this is another objection we get. Oh, this is, you know, I'm not saying it's the out there with everyone and the banks are all running on everything else, but the understanding of it is in the early stages, but it is mature. We've been doing this for 7 or 8 years. We haven't got it perfect. Hell, we haven't even got BGP perfect yet, right? So, but we know what's going on, and it's deployed. You can go around, and you can do it in a low-risk manner. The other one on this is because, you know, we are not philanthropic. We are not charities in the IT industry. So everyone goes, oh, yeah, you're upselling us, and you're going to rip us, especially Brendan at the back, you're going to rip us off, and this is all going to be bad, blah, blah, blah. Look, low risk. If you use your brain at an IT level, you go in with your eyes open and, you know, get the trust thing going on with people. Talk to the IT people properly, IT vendors even properly, or at least us. You can get the right hardware platform. There's no cost uplift. So in the HP space, I'm not saying that's the same for everybody, but in the HP space, the products we use to build the networks today as a traditional, you know, spanning tree, whatever type scenario, are the same ones, or can be the same ones, that we use in an SDN environment with OpenFlow. And they perform, and we know how they perform. Now, will they be better in 5 years' time, the SDN ones? Of course they will. We live in a technical world. Will the software be bigger? Yes, it will. You know? But it's low risk. You know, you don't have to spend more. So I don't get why people don't get that. Agile, it's automated, it's orchestrated. By default, because of that collapsing the control plane back to a single point, running that thing there, it is automatically, or it's automated, it's orchestrated from a single point, right? So you get that by default, makes a big change. Management, I talked before about the visualization and the fact that it's instantaneous. Big, big improvement. For those of you that are engaged in the networking space and have a perfect management scenario for your networking, you can tell exactly what's going on, and you know that next week the load's going to be too much and you have to crank something up a little bit and can orchestrate it from a pull of a tab, you're full of rubbish, because that's no one. I haven't bumped anyone in New Zealand that actually does that really, really well. People get close, but it's still a bit away from where they want to be. This is huge in terms of how much it changes. And from an innovation point of view, it is only going to get bigger. Right? We've been doing it for 7 or 8 years. The fundamentals, And again, I encourage you, and it's later on, there's a slide about getting down. If you want to get down and see any of the stuff at HP, you can get down and actually play with controllers and do all the bits and pieces. All right. The stuff that's on App Store, when we built the Link thing, for example, so we built the Link thing with Microsoft, what we've built is an engine that allows us then to do quals and policy to edge switching. We can now reuse that for a whole bunch of things. So a lot of the hard work from the SDN applications has been going on for the last 5 or 6 years. Now we've got a whole, you know, we're not perfect, and there's still things that we need to do as an industry to go the next step. But a lot of the building blocks are in place for us to maximize. And if it was fully baked and shipped out of the US or wherever it was, that would be a bad thing, by the way, because then New Zealand couldn't contribute. It's better if we can actually do some stuff. We'd like to export some stuff other than people. So on the contributor thing, be early. It's been around for a while. It's still early. It's, you know, it's probably in the Gartner thing. It's probably at that hype cycle or overhyped or a trough of despair or something like that, right? But the point is, it's early. It's the hottest thing around from a networking point of view. You have the opportunity, be it via a business use case scenario or actually doing something, right, developing an application, because this is not the future of this. What SDN does is it's not, oh, I'm a business. I want you, Mr. HP, to sell it to me, this complete solution. Now what we're doing is we're enabling you, the business, you, the application people, to write and direct my network. So you've got, so the businesses and the application guys have to do some work. They've got the opportunity to do it. If you look at any of the stuff that's around in the industry, ONS and such forth, the shows, referenceable customers, customers that are actually figured out how to use it and can quantify it, get a lot of good visibility. Right? Be it a service provider or the vendors like us, you get to take your brand, personal and company, on a stage, which is not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing. Right? So you get to actually transport it around in front of a whole bunch of other industry peers and other sectors, which helps New Zealand export in terms and presence. So I don't know whether you realise, but we're quite a small country and people even don't even know where we are and stuff like that, so it's quite good when you get out on the big stage. If you develop anything, and this last point annoys me a little bit, but if we develop apps, you can export them. One of the ecosystem partners we have is RMIT, Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology. It's in Australia, those who don't know where Melbourne is. They developed they went out and they did the SDN thing earlier. They developed what we would in networking call NAC, network access controls, right? We always wanted NAC. It was a fantastic security thing, but it never worked because it had too many moving parts and it became a denial of service thing or a denial of service. So they developed the NAC application in SDN. They went, wow, this is really cool. We can sell it. We can put it on HP's website and flick it out and blah, 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 bits and pieces like that. What they've realised is subsequently is actually the support process within that isn't something that the university do. So now they're looking to spin it off into a vendor company. But that idea of being a customer and developing something and then selling it via HP's app store in an open ecosystem is exactly what we're aiming at. So HP got on it early with the Stanford things. We're saying the only way this thing's going to get off the ground other than us waiting and, you know, for another 5 years is let's enable it. Let's get this open. You can use it in OpenStack and other bits and pieces, and here you go. Develop an app. Come to us. Do the things you want to do. The testbed one comes up all the time. Well, we should be a testbed. You know, how many times, I don't know how many others get this, but we get the one of, oh, you know, HP, you know, you're a big multinational. You should be the guinea pig for the world, and they put moonshot down here and make the whole thing happen, and then take it, because it's a market a long way from the US, and take it back. This is an opportunity to do that, all right? So, Mr. Customer, or Mr. Industry, if you think we should be the test bed, let's go and do it. Let's develop those applications, whatever crazy idea you guys have got about making the network work for you, and then we can actually go and flog that back into the organisations. Right? So we can be the test bed, and you can make money out of it as well. this one down here for me, is New Zealand can't win success-wise, business-wise, presence-wise, based on building a bigger data center and getting the compute costs down. We're tiny. It doesn't matter, right? We don't matter in the IT world, right? So what we have to do from a business point of view is we have to be smarter. We can't throw people at it. We don't have enough people. We can't throw scale at it from a, you know, SMB thing, right? So what we have to do, if we want to keep that intellect, keep that entrepreneurial piece in New Zealand, is we have to apply intelligence to the problem. SDN, from a networking point of view, is applying intelligence to that orchestration layer. We're small. We should be able to react fast. We speak English and can read the manuals on this stuff. Let's get out and apply some intelligence and SDN to our challenges. Let's make, better. It's damn cool. Right, when you get down and read about it and you talk about it in the light, if the lights ever come on, right, and you switch a little bit, you find that it's actually a massive step change. Sort of probably gets confusing at certain times, particularly when I talk about it. But once you actually get down and look at a controller, look at the applications and think about it and start thinking, well, hold on, does that mean my application can mine AD to look at the user? Oh, yeah, it does, actually. You know, if you want to go out there and look at all the profile information or an Excel spreadsheet or anything else, absolutely it does. So now what I do with the network is dependent on the identity of the person. That's huge. You know, we just can't do that at the moment. It is also, from a business point of view, a channel point of view, I don't care what it is, it's a differentiator. Right now, only the front-end people, the early adopters, are doing it, and it will differentiate. They get it right, and they'll be real successful. If you're not differentiating, if you're following everyone, just another sheep, good New Zealand joke, just another sheep in the or person in the crowd, you ain't going anywhere. You're just going to be sucked down the, you know, same as everyone, bland brown paper bag. You need to stand out. Unless, of course, you're me and I'm making dad jokes or something. My kids tell me don't stand out. Resources. I'm about wrapped up. This resources, so if you want to go, there's a bunch of URLs here. You can go to the SDN apps. You can have a look through them. There are load balancers here. So I don't know, you know, Kemp, make a load balancer that uses our stuff to actually load balance via the controller and mining the data on the controller. The load balancer can tell exactly the state of the network. So it can tell instantaneously the state of the network and make a balanced decision based on what the network is doing as well as what the application is doing. Currently, we don't do that. All right? So it's a much, much more sophisticated and granular load balancer. It gives you a whole bunch of solution briefs. It gives you the bits and pieces. Here's a bunch of contact details. So you can download things. If some of you like to play around at home at night on developer kits and things and you don't have a real life, then by all means, you can download the demo on this stuff. You can download the controller and play around with it. All right? Figure out what goes on. There's certification. So we have certification, both developer certification and training and IT professional, if you want certification and training, sales as well, for sales people. What else is up there? You can go directly to the Alliance guys. I would really, really encourage you, if it even sounds vaguely interesting in terms of taking a cloud and connecting it to an end branch or doing something in terms of defined policy at an end branch, sounds vaguely interesting, book in with us. Go and have a look at the lab. You can go play with it. The lights come on, for technical people, when they see it and they do some stuff, right? Bunch of contacts at the bottom if you want to get hold of us at all. Mandatory slides. Microsoft is fantastic. They do everything absolutely brilliantly. And complete your session evaluation thing. Say that I was rubbish and it was miles off topic, because it sort of probably was, because we wrote the thing earlier. And you might be in to win. I have no idea what you're winning, but you're probably winning something that's fantastic. It's definitely not a dinner out with me. Done. Thank you, guys. Any questions? I'm around here. We're down on the stand. Context in what manner? Okay. I'm just trying to think through that. So OpenFlow has a number of variants. There was 1 and 1.2 and 1.3 that's out now. And 1.3's got IPv6 and some other stuff in it, so it's quite good. We released 1 and 1.3. We didn't support 1.2. It's the API effectively between the control plane and the device, all right? There's some fundamentals, like all standards, all right? Like all standards and like all IT situations, you need to go in with your eyes open. You need to trial what you're looking at. Having OpenFlow support does not, be it 1.0 or 1.3 or 2 or whatever, does not mean the product works at line rate. The box works at line rate. It has to have the hardware capabilities to support your application. So your application is requesting via OpenFlow API some specifics from the device on how it's going to handle tables, how it's going to do lookups and that. Right? The hardware has to be able to do it, right? And the vendor has to implement the specifics extensions on it. So it's definitely at a sales level or as a vendor level, it's a thing that's been, we call it SDN wash. Right, everyone supports SDN. I support OpenFlow. Tick the box, got the RFP. Get on with it. That doesn't mean it works. It doesn't mean... I'll give you an example from our point of view. We got switches, older generation, supported OpenFlow 1 years ago, run at line rate with a 10G and 24 1Gs or whatever you want on them. So they go line rate. You do specific lookups under OpenFlow 1, on the device, you get 384 megs worth of throughput. That's it, maxed out, because you're having to go to the CPU to do these lookups, table manipulation. So the hardware has to be able to deal with it as well. It's not because, and our products are good. Everyone's got the same things. This is physics, right? This is not magic. Right? So the only thing with that, I suppose, would be go in with your eyes open and definitely understand. It's a great field. Get down and play. And get some real understanding. It's actually a really honest subject. In the old days, I like to talk. See, I'm old. I talk about old days like your granddad's. In the old days, you used to go down and you used to look at a product and you understood how it handled data. So when you designed a network, you went in and you went, oh, okay, it goes into the FIFO and it comes out this other way and does a lookup in this particular way. And you understood how a box took packets in, spat them out, and therefore how it worked. You're back to that. In an OpenFlow world, you're back to that. You need to understand how the tables are manipulated in the device and how your API is going to call up. It's quite cool. Did that sort of answer it? Yeah. Okay. Switching all routers or APs. Access points as well. It's real cool in it if you think of, if the lights did come on, and you thought about OpenFlow or SDN, and you thought about wireless and BYOD and mining identity and defining flows between wireless and wireless and wireless and application, that is cool. That's like, wow, actually, that's BYOD that might work rather than having a lot of moving parts and being very expensive and complicated. Any other questions, or can I let you disappear? If you want us, we're down at the HP stand. It's got a big H and a P on it with a blue thing around it, right? And just come and talk to us, do whatever, we'll give away some giveaway things. Be great. Thanks, guys.